More and more kids are enrolling in Oklahoma's virtual schools, but these schools are not performing very well. As KOSU's Emily Windler reports, some opponents want the state to put the brakes on virtual education, at least until more information is available. But others say this alternative to traditional school is essential for the special needs of their children.
Throughout middle school, Toby Carter's teachers struggled to keep him challenged.
Normally, by the time my class in COIL was done with one lesson, I could have been done with that lesson and the next three.
He lives in a rural part of Oklahoma and attended a small rural school through the eighth grade. This year, however, he switched to the Oklahoma Virtual Charter Academy, an online school. He likes it because he can go at his own pace.
This way I'm not being held back by anything.
Other families choose online education to escape bullying. Some moms, like Julie Dye, like the flexibility of it. Dye says virtual school allows her daughter to pursue her passion, ice skating.
So to be really good at ice skating, you have to get a lot of ice time, and all the low-cost ice time is during the middle of the day.
Dye's daughter goes to Epic Virtual Charter School, the largest online school in the state. Dye chose Epic because the school gives families money to spend on extracurricular activities, which Dye spends on her daughter's ice skating lessons.
I'm like, wow, the state, via Epic, will pay us for the extracurriculars we've been paying out of pocket, and which is pretty darn awesome.
For all these reasons, enrollment in Oklahoma virtual schools is booming. It's tripled in the past few years, and some advocates say this proves parents want more school choice. But others are skeptical of the growth. Mary Sue Backus is a professor of education law at the University of Oklahoma, and she isn't so sure that more kids in virtual school is a good thing.
The problem is there's no research to support the effectiveness of a fully online education in the K-12 context.
Backus is right. A comprehensive study out of Stanford University shows the average online student experiences less academic growth than the average student in a brick-and-mortar school, especially in math. In Oklahoma, there are four virtual schools, and they all have C's, D's, and F's on the state report card. The graduation rate is also really low. On average, it's 35%, compared to about 80% for brick-and-mortar schools.
So if there was a trend or a theme in what we're seeing out of virtual education across the country, it's that it doesn't work very well.
But the superintendent at Oklahoma Virtual Charter Academy, Cheryl Tatum, says there are a couple reasons for these low scores. First of all, she says, many of the kids coming into her school are at-risk students that are behind on credits.
In 2012, 13% of our kids were behind in credits for entering high school, 9% being significantly behind. And now, last year, it was 46% were entering behind in credits.
Second, virtual schools have really high mobility rates. A lot of the students are either transferring in or out throughout the year.
Even in brick-and-mortar schools, it doesn't matter. Just the schools that have higher mobility rates struggle more with test scores. And so just like you see that in brick-and-mortar, you see that with online also.
Tatum says the kids that stay from year to year make big gains. Oklahoma has a statewide virtual charter school board that is looking into many of these issues, and they've recently commissioned in-depth reports on each virtual school in the state. Dan Craig is in charge of these reviews, and so far his agency has only investigated Epic Virtual Charter School. Here he is presenting that review to the state's Virtual Charter School Board.
If y'all flip to page 1-2, and I promise I'm not going to read all this to you, there were a lot of things the school district was doing a really, really good job on, and we want to make sure that we brought those out.
Overall, Craig and his team gave the school a positive review. They compared Epic's academic performance data to some brick-and-mortar schools and found that the student achievement was similar. However, only half of Epic's students' test scores counted towards their performance data. The other half of kids didn't meet attendance requirements, so their scores didn't count. In brick-and-mortar schools, about 90% of kids count towards a school's academic performance. Craig says this makes it difficult for people to determine how Epic is doing as a whole, for better or worse. But beyond academics, the law professor, Mary Sue Backus, has one other major concern about virtual schools.
The red flag for me on virtual charter schools is the involvement of the for-profit sector.
This is something Craig's review did not look into, and technically can't. And we'll tell you more about that tomorrow. For KOSU, I'm Emily Wendler.